Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeart Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. This goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Tons of stuff to talk about today and the next couple of days as well. Yesterday, the entire day was devoted to the Billy Corgan Dixie Carter lawsuit. And we will know more about that on Monday. Shortly after we went off the air, the judge in the case decreed that Monday she would make a decision. And so something's happening one way or the other on Monday. And that appears to be the company's either going to Billy Corgan or is going to Anthem. I'm going to find out on Monday. Today, the big news from the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, WWE holding their quarter three review conference call Thursday morning, but released some of their financial documents already, showing a slight drop in average network subscribers for the July through September timeframe. Network closed the quarter 1.44 million subscribers, averaged 1.458 million paid subscribers. Both are down from quarter two's 1.511 million close and 1.517 million, respectively. Quarter two included WrestleMania. What's interesting, there's a lot of interesting stuff we can talk about today. The free WrestleMania. They gave it away for free. They drew 370,000 free users to watch WrestleMania and ended up, well, if you take out those 370,000 free viewers, they're exactly where they were paid at WrestleMania, which appears to me to mean that they gained approximately zero new subscribers off that free WrestleMania gimmick that they did this year. We can talk more about this after the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-797-1256. 800-797-1256. That's 800-797-1256.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. So call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does it mean?
How about a 5,000 square foot building for under $39,000? Don't pay more than you should without calling General Steel first.
Call 877-93-STEEL today.
And save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 877-93-STEEL. That's 877-938-7335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 877-93-STEEL.
Your music can take you anywhere you want to go. And Guitar Center is the best place to start the journey. Save up to 25% on over 200,000 guitars, amps, and accessories from major brands. Take $200 off select American-made Fender guitars. Get a Martin X-Series Acoustic Electric for $449, a Yamaha Acoustic for just $99, or Daddario Strings 3-packs for $10. Where will your new guitar take you? Guitarathon is going on now at Guitar Center.
The Lodge at Tiburon is steps from the ferry docks and nestled among Tiburon's upscale boutiques, charming cafes, and unique galleries. Dine at the award-winning Tiburon Tavern, serving innovative dishes prepared with ingredients grown in our very own gardens, starting from $199 a night. Join us at the Lodge at Tiburon and create long-lasting memories. For reservations, call 1-877-614-6068. Join us at the Lodge at Tiburon or go to lodgeattiburon.com.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. What an exciting day we have today. Dave Meltzer is going to be joining us on the show. And at the moment, we are joined by Chris Harrington, who's here to talk about this WWE earnings call and more. Mookie Ghana on Twitter. How you doing?
Doing great, Brian. Good to be here.
All right, let me get this straight here, okay? You can tell me if I'm wrong. So, during the WrestleMania quarter, they did $1.511 million and $1.517 million, respectively, here in the U.S. and worldwide for the network. And they closed this quarter at $1.44 million. But although that appears to be a drop from the WrestleMania season, 370,000 of those during WrestleMania season were free. So essentially the drop was from 1.454 to 1.444. Is that correct? It's basically exactly the same?
Yeah, I guess they had total subscribers of about 1.517 on average over that quarter, and now they're down to 1.458. So, I mean, over the last quarter here, they lost 455 subscribers. They gained 388,000 subscribers. So they went down for sure. It's been interesting seeing that because they think next quarter is actually going to be down to 1.4 million for the whole quarter, which, you know, is even with that big Brock Goldberg push, they still think they're going to lose another 80,000 subscribers or so.
So from looking at these numbers, we'll get to Brock and Goldberg in a moment. Does it appear that the idea to give away WrestleMania for free at the end of the day was a bad idea?
I think it did not. You know, WWE would always argue that they're not measuring it purely in financial terms and that, you know, the increased reach of this or that is what made it useful. But I don't think from a purely financial standpoint, you could argue it was a strong positive to them. You know, they're going to grow about probably 25% this year on the WWE network where they were versus a year ago. But as they even said on the call today, George Berrios, their CFO, admitted WrestleMania is the main way that we bring people in to subscribe to us. Besides WrestleMania, all we have left is essentially gimmicks, you know, giving out free tickets or free DVDs or something to subscribe. WrestleMania seems to be the only thing that's able for us to acquire new subscribers. And heck, they're out of countries, right? China's the only place left that they haven't expanded into.
So what were your big takeaways from this earnings report?
You know, it was a pretty humdrum affair. They said, you know, we did $166 million this quarter. We did $164 a year ago. The biggest difference, you know, the only thing that was really unusual was that they, in fact, television revenue was down year over year. And that was because last year they had Tough Enough and Total Divas airing $14 million worth of programming, and they didn't have any of that this quarter. Beyond that, you know, we see that attendance was surprisingly up in the sense that they averaged about 5,300 a show in Q3, and that was better than 5,100 a year ago at this time. I do wonder if we're beginning to see profitability on live events, though, beginning to fall, because we know we've seen a lot of very anemic house show numbers going out there. And so I almost wonder if there's a big difference going on between live events that are televised and non-televised And, you know, just looking at Observer results, for instance, there was six times in the last 2 years I could find that there was a house show that drew less than 2,000. We've already had six times that happened this year alone. So it feels to me like running more shows with SmackDown and Raw being separate brands, it'll be interesting to see if they can extract more value out of higher ticket prices, because I'm not sure that attendance alone is going to really keep them profitable.
Well,
that, you know, it was all sorts of jargon about licensing fees being down a little bit, and, you know, digital media continues not to drive. You know, WWE Studios made a little bit of money this quarter, but obviously it's less than $1 million, so it just tells you it's not a big deal. Really, when it comes down to what's happening, it's WWE Network subscriptions, it's TV rights money. We know TV rights are going to continue to go up, whereas the network, if you really go back 5 years, you know, the network quarter is as profitable as we were when we had a pay-per-view model. So next year, they're hoping to get to $100 million of OIBDA and say that's the all-time record, which, you know, if you include those XFL losses, for sure it'd be an all-time record. I think if you didn't include the XFL losses, I would question whether or not WWE wasn't better during the Attitude Era. But for the most part, this was a boring call in the sense that nothing interesting was discussed. When they brought up the survey, they just said, you know, we send surveys out all the time. Don't read too much into it. So the Q&A really wasn't even all that interesting either, beyond Vince talking about whether he would ever sell the company.
Chris, but you said you think that the rights fees are going to go up. Where does that come from? Because we're kind of seeing a leveling out in some ways.
He's talking about the contract year to year. Next year they're contracted to
The elevator goes up. Okay.
Who knows what'll happen when the contract?
They even brought that up on the call of, okay, 2019's coming around. Are you guys hoping to hang on for dear life, or are you actually expecting to get more money? And they really sidestepped the question by just saying
they
should have. Really great at.
Yeah.
They used all their acronyms, AVOD and SVOD and TV, and therefore we're going to be great no matter what the media landscape looks like. And always a degree of truth and a degree of carny to everything you hear from them.
Well, to be fair to them, too, I mean, they really don't know, because there's going to be a lot of other sports and events that, you know, are going to be up before it's time for them, that are going to kind of lay the groundwork. The NFL is not the one to go off of, obviously, or like, you know, March Madness or anything like that. But there are some other ones that could be. When it comes to the stock right now, where does it stand, and where does it stand amongst investors as far as it being? Is it a mild hold? Is it something to ignore altogether? Is it something you just get rid of now while it's still at 19? Like, where does everything kind of stand with their image of the stock right now?
Well, investors are looking for the next shiny thing to happen with WWE. I mean, being at close to $20 is for them a pretty positive move. It hasn't been that much for quite some time, so they're happy about that. On the flip side, they're looking for, you know, there was talk today of saying, are you going to do a stock swap with Comcast and give each other equity and therefore, you know, increase your ties with the company? Or would you consider selling the company and try to get a UFC-like valuation, or look at what AT&T is doing? So they throw around all these really pie-in-the-sky ideas to gain value. But the reality is WWE really seems like they want to continue going at it alone, going at it their own way, and just kind of riding the market out. Even with China, they, you know, which is probably the last interesting thing that WWE has to offer the investing community, they even admitted that, you know, Netflix themselves has already said, well, maybe we won't launch our own service in China. We'll just license our content to other people there. And WWE was saying, oh, we're looking at it, we're considering it. And it just goes to show a lot of it was so humdrum, I think, because they don't really have that thing to offer. I think pricing tiers on the network and, you know, this new content ideas that they talked about on the survey is about the only thing left. And they didn't talk about flow sports. They didn't talk about anything like that. And when you see, you know, Raw ratings dropping, even by their own estimate, what is it, 14%, 14% year over year on this quarter, it just really frightens you to think, oh, gosh, it's hard for them to think about what the next rabbit they can pull out of their hat is, because, you know, there's no big star. There's no big real draw they have beyond WrestleMania continuing to be a juggernaut event. And they even hinted maybe they'll do something with Universal Studios while they're down in Florida this year.
Well, let me say this. Let me get your thoughts on this. We only have about a minute here, but we've been talking about the doom of TNA. And to me, the big difference between TNA and WWE there's a lot of them, but a big one is TNA had a very hardcore group of fans that wouldn't pay a dime for anything. Whereas WWE is running off casuals in droves, but the hardcores that they have remaining are willing to pay a lot of money for all of their stuff, which is bringing them to a, I don't want to say the heights of profitability, but we could see that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that just it goes back to that ticket price discussion earlier. We're seeing them continue to extract more and more value. And as they pointed out, they have better consumer metrics than they've ever had before through the WWE Network. So now they're able to see who is watching, what are you watching, how long did you watch, did you repeat it? And those sort of things are going to let them tailor their content more specifically towards people. And so I think they're going to do a better job of being able to extract value from their core fans. The challenge is you got to grow the entire ship if you really want to make this thing explode.
All right, Mookie, plug WrestleNomics in your Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at Mookie Ghana, and if you go to WrestleNomics.com or indeed Wrestling.com, that's where all my wrestling fun stuff is. Great being on the show, and it was fun taking over the Twitter today. Live blog the call.
Thanks so much for being on. Back in a moment with Big Dave, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
Yellow part of the reason I ain't gonna stop. Against the odds, I went hard until I popped. Came from the bottom, and now I'm standing on top. I had dreams, and now they all coming true.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895. 800-760-4895. 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is joining us here today. Dave, what do you make of this earnings report?
It's I mean, I guess it was a little bit lower than Wall Street expected. You know, there's not really much to it. I mean, we kind of know where the, you know, most of the things are other than the network number. You know, the attendance I'm pretty much tracking all the time. And they were up a little bit in attendance. They had a better September this year than last year. The other months were pretty much flat. But the network number was, 6,000 down from my expectation. That's not, that's not a tragedy or anything like that. The one thing that I guess after 1 month, because September was the first month they did it, the two pay-per-views a month as opposed to one didn't seem to help the number. In fact, the number actually dropped in September. So that idea as far as, like, we're giving you more pay-per-views, I think that at least, and the jury is out, it's only 1 month, but that at least for the first month, that didn't drive new subscribers or anything like that.
You know, one of the interesting things about this, we were just talking on the show last night about how Raw is 3 hours long, and then the next day on social media, they announced this Goldberg-Brock Lesnar match. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter that much, one would think, because, you know, they'll talk about it on Raw next week, but...
Yeah, and plus it's plenty of weeks before the show. It's not
sure.
Like it's not like it's a one-week build, in which case it would have been, you know, ridiculous. Like if they do the women's match last with no week build, you know, then it's just squandering it.
But
that's a different thing.
They announced that on social media. They announced two matches for Hell in a Cell on social media that were not announced on Raw. There were points.
Meaningless matches.
I know, but there's a point to all this. There was a moment during Raw that show was so bad that I thought, why am I wasting 3 hours on this when I can watch all of the pertinent clips, get all the matches announced, and everything on social media? And here we have this announcement during this deal that they had 11.5 billion views on social media of their content. And meanwhile, ratings are down another 14% this year for Raw, 13% for SmackDown.
Yeah, okay, but here's the thing. The social media stuff the thing that people don't realize is that 75% of that is outside the United States and ratings are all inside the United States. So it's not like there's all this viewing, oh my God, everyone's doing that. When you actually look at it, most of that viewing is in places. It's not.
We're still talking 25% of 11 billion. That's 4 billion views here in this country.
It doesn't really mean anything.
It seems to mean something to me.
In the sense of revenue and everything like that, it doesn't, it's not even, the YouTube revenue isn't even like a footnote in their listings. I mean, they don't even list it. It's so.
I know. That's my point. Like, there's so many people watching this stuff. You don't need to watch all of Raw and SmackDown.
Well, Brian, and to your point, too, I mean, the fact that, you know, it's even less in the United States watching when ratings are already down, it's just kind of makes it even worse, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, the one thing that I find almost, like, fascinating, and it's been brought up before, in fact, it was just brought up at the last conference call, but not this one, was when they talk about, like, 75% of the all the social media is outside the United States, but, like, 75, 77% of revenue, some maybe 73, I haven't done the totals yet for this quarter, but it usually ranges between 73 and 77% of the revenue, comes from North America. So it's like all of this stuff, It's all well and good, but how come if it's so big outside the United States, how come all the revenue or the vast majority of the revenue is United States and secondarily UK? You know, I mean, that's where the revenue comes from, but there's all of this viewing everywhere that you would think that, like, wow, they should be doing like all kinds of merchandise in all these places all over the world and they should be and they don't.
Dave,
yes.
Can I ask you a really kind of dumb question? Brian, does
no such thing, Mike. Go ahead.
Where does WWE's money actually come from? Like, as far as the demographic breakdown to, you know, who, obviously they know to work with the Kmarts and the Targets of the world and things like that, but is there, because there seems to be a lot of expendable money at the fingertips of wrestling fans, which goes directly against everything that we think of and how people are thinking of when it comes to wrestling fans. So
most of the money is two things. I mean, it's the network and it's the rights fees and ticket sales. I mean, those are the three major drivers. The licensing and merchandise. I mean, the video game is still strong, but the licensing and merchandise, which used to be big, isn't big at all. I mean, that's but the TV, you know, they're really living and dying based on. I mean, the two things, the only two things that really make a difference. I mean, house shows to a degree, but and house shows are like they're steady. They're not really big ups and big downs, which is good or bad depending on how you look at it. I mean, it's not a boom period. It's not a down period. We're in the middle, kind of. But the you know, it's the TV rights fees, which because of contracts continually go up. So when you look and go like, wow, you know, like it's less popular, but they're taking in more money. It's because these are contracts that were signed before based on, you know, TV people thinking what it's going to be, you know, and what they're going to get from it. And, you know, again, are they satisfied or not? We'll know at the next negotiations. And the network number, which is, you know, what it is. It's, I don't, you know, I mean, it's not where they predicted it would be. It's not even close, but it's not like it's bad, and it's not like it's a money loser. And where they are as far as profitability, they're at, what was the number, 25.3 million so far for this year, profitability, which is almost identical to the same point last year. So it's like it's more profitable than last year or less. It's exactly the same, essentially.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, kind of just like exactly, you know, merchandise-wise, it kind of tells a story then of their base. Basically, I mean, is hit by the economy, you know, is that sort of thing where obviously you're going to go to the show because it only comes around so much. So if you want a chance to see WWE live, you're going to have to go when it comes. But as far as merchandise and that, all that sort of stuff, I was interested in that and how much effect does the economy and all that basically have on WWE's, because they are trying to build tap out and things like that, and they're trying to market to the people that they have. It's like just curious as to what the effect is on them.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything about how, you know, tap out is done. So I don't even have an answer to that. But, you know, they're doing that. And, you know, Flow Sports is a different thing. Flow Sports, they just put an investment in. They have investments in other companies, too. But the tap out is something that they're, like, aggressively, you know, partially in charge of. So that's a completely different type of a thing. And they're obviously, you know, marketing it pretty hard on their TV. But not as hard as I expected that they would, honestly.
Yeah, they seem to do more with Kmart in the past than they actually are with their own stuff right now, with how it's laid out in, I guess, it's exclusive in Target or wherever it's at.
Yeah.
So what is your take on the free WrestleMania promotion?
You know what? I have to crunch some numbers to give my opinion of it right now. I don't know. You know, I'll know in a day or two when I go through and look at the, you know, the growth year to year and everything like that. I mean, they're up. You know, they're making a big deal how they're up from last year, but they should be up from last year. They're still a, you know, they got it into in the last year. They got into a lot of new markets, and U.S. is up a little bit, but it's still a growing thing. And they, you know, you get a lot of free subscribers, and then some of them convert, although the number of free subscribers that they have now is very, very low. I mean, like earlier this year, it was really high. And I mean, they offer it for free, but it seems like the number of people who get it for free, you know, I forget what the number is, but I think it was like in the, you know, 27,000 total for at the end of the month, which is, so it's you know, it used to be like always like 150. So one of the things with the free, and this was going to happen no matter what, is at first, when you say free, you get all kinds of people. You know, I mean, and I shouldn't even say, you know, because at WrestleMania, I think it was
370,000.
What? 370,000?
Yep.
Okay, so, and now it's, you know, whatever, 27,000. So what it is when you tell people it's free, 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 they'll try it out. But there comes a point where you keep doing the same promotional gimmick over and over. It's kind of like, just not exactly the best analogy, but it's like, the first time you do a battle royal, the first time you do a cage match and you sell out, but if you just go like year round, every single card we're going to have a cage match and a battle royal, it's like eventually, you know, it's not going to matter because you've just done it too much. And that's what's happened kind of with the free thing. If they'd done the free thing like three times a year, I think that they would get benefits from it constantly. But by doing it year round, because Netflix does it year round, now it's not really, you know, now they've gotten to this point. And I mean, even with the free thing, you know, their numbers were down from the last quarter, and they're predicting another drop of, you know, for, you know, 4,000 or 40,000 or whatever. They're expecting another drop for the next quarter. So it's,
Just glancing at these numbers here, I mean, it looks like they had 370,000 people try Mania for free, and approximately zero of them subscribed afterwards.
No, there wasn't a percentage that subscribed, but if you're looking at the growth from that period to now, I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it's they were like 1362, and now they're like 1441. So you know they're up 80,000 out of the 370. So it was up, but they I can't say it was something.
But we don't even know if those 80,000 were part of the 370,000 that tried it for free. It could be normal growth.
You don't know. No, well, there's not going to be. There isn't normal growth after WrestleMania. In this case, the normal growth was actually right after WrestleMania because they had the free. Then they did have the growth the next quarter, which was the people who got in for free. And then from that quarter, now they're having the drop. So usually you would have the post-Mania drop right after WrestleMania. This time the post-Mania drop was started essentially a month after WrestleMania.
All right, we have to head to a break. Dave, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today, and we'll talk about The Observer this week when we come back. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
When I took over this farm from my dad, I knew our future success required making major changes in our operations. That meant adding acreage, more and bigger equipment, investing in powerful technology, hiring employees. We even started a seed business. Fortunately, working together with Grinnell Mutual and my local farm mutual, my agent was able to cover everything. I call that progress.
GEICO presents a voicemail from your friend, Electricity.
Hey, it's me, Electricity, so I'll keep this short. Get it? Never mind. Anyway, I just want to make sure you're not, like, still mad at me about that electrical fire in your kitchen. I mean, obviously you're not, but I'm just checking to make sure. It's no big deal if you are. It's not like you're asking me to pay for the damage. Right?
Electricity won't pay for an electrical fire. Luckily, the GEICO Insurance Agency makes getting coverage a snap. Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to call on topic today, and the topics are Raw, Hell in a Cell, ratings, earnings report, TNA's issues and their court case and more, you are welcome to do so. The toll-free line, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. Monday night was the Kevin Owens show, but every day you can see the Kevin Steen show at HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com. Get to know the early days of the Headlock Master as Kevin hosts in-depth interviews with stars such as Matt Hardy, Adam Cole, Jay Lethal, and more. Plus, you get tons of Kevin's early matches, all available at HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com. If you are a Kevin Owens fan, HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com, tons of stuff up there. Head up there and check it out. This person here says, I was at the NXT show last night. The Austin Aries injury looked bad. As soon as Nakamura hit the kick, Aries went down. Never let go of his eye until the doctors got to him. He was cut deep and bled along with his eye and cheek swollen bad, but he still trash-talked as they walked him to the back. There's actually a photo of Aries. His eye looks worse than my eye looked when I broke my orbital bone. So if he broke his orbital bone, as we have also learned the last couple of months or so, he's going to be out a long time. So that's no good.
Yeah, that eye doesn't look good, does it?
Man.
Pus coming out of it and everything.
Man, oh, man.
See, that's why that damn Nakamura is not going to get called up to the main roster. The kid doesn't know how to work.
This person says, if ratings continue to fall steadily, do you think WWE would consider going back to taped SmackDown shows? What?
Huh?
If the ratings continue to fall steadily, do you think WWE would consider going back to... I think he's confused. SmackDown is down. SmackDown is down year to year. But that's year to year. They just moved to Tuesdays Live, and the ratings are up from what they were on Fridays.
And there's no other way to tape it either.
And Live also has been increasing the attendance for SmackDown. So the SmackDown move to Tuesdays going live has been a positive so far, not a negative. Of course it's down year to year. It was on Fridays most of this year.
Even if it was, I mean, there's no other place that you could tape it unless you're going to move days. And if they discover, then again, Friday is the best day for the show to be on, or Thursday is the best day, and that's going to be the most beneficial day, then that's what they're going to do again. But for now, they're writing this thing out because they got a lot invested in it. And in, like you're saying, it is making a little bit of a difference, even though overall everything's down.
Now, it is true. Against heavy competition from Game 1 of the World Series between the Chicago Cubs and the Cleveland Indians, which did 20 million viewers, It's streak versus streak. And you know what? Even if it's a losing streak, that means something to people. Mm. Opening night of the NBA season, SmackDown reverted to similar numbers that it was doing when airing on Thursday nights. Show averaged just 2.127 million viewers, down 11% from last week. But that was all due to this game. And so it's going to settle in at about 2.3, 2.4 during the fall season. And I'm sure when the fall TV season is over, it'll go back to doing 2.8s or whatever. It's not beating Raw anytime soon. It had one chance right before the fall TV season started. And it was neck and neck, but it didn't do it, and now it's not going to.
There is a chance it can beat Raw.
No, it can't.
The only possible way it can from this point forward would actually be somehow in the lead up to WrestleMania that they decide to do some way where they have a loaded SmackDown. That's like the only chance outside of football season that I think it could ever happen.
Dude, I think they did a loaded SmackDown for the draft, and I don't think that beat Raw that week. Maybe it did.
I don't think it did. I think it was close, but then they were closer like 2 weeks after that, and then that was it.
Well, there you go. So I should note, by the way, that it appears our world-famous court reporter from the TNA hearing yesterday is going to be on the show tomorrow. So I'm very excited about that. He'll tell you everything you need to know about this absolute disaster. I don't know if I should announce. I was going to say something, but I'm not.
Good.
I'm not announcing anything, okay? I'm not announcing anything.
But
I always said I would never write a death of TNA because I said nobody would read it. However, Looking at the traffic that our website has generated in the last month or so, people are so fascinated by this story that I rescind my statement that I will not write the book because nobody would ever read it.
People love a good car
wreck,
man.
Saying I'm going to write it, because who even knows?
Dude, look, there's the reason that judge shows are on TV and have lasted for so long. There's a reason that a lot of these types of events where you cringe and you say it's beneath you and you turn your head, but then you end up turning back again and it sucks you in. And wrestling fans are no different. And here is a real life. When they say the real world is faker than pro wrestling, here's a great example of Dixie Carter's whole run and TNA and Vince Russo and trying to work major networks and trying to work a rock superstar who's got a history of business acumen behind him and lawyers and all of the. It's faker than wrestling, which makes it even more fun and more juicy to sink your teeth into.
Nate Rao will be on the show tomorrow talking about this. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
Okay. Fill me in on the good news I read that's come out of the Observer. Is it true Io Shirai is coming to NXT?
Man, that's news to me. I haven't even read the Observer yet. Is that in there, Mike?
They would like her to be there. I don't know if she will. I guess Stardom believes that she could go, which would make sense. I mean, if I was going to pick one person, or it would be a very short list of people who I think WWE should actively pursue, she's certainly one of them. So
well, the way I read
all right, let me read it to you, Jim. Let me read it to
okay.
you. You all could have read this, by the way, if you subscribe to WrestlingObserver.com. 40,000 words of news and information every single week in the Observer, not to mention all these back issues. And following the recent tradition of everyone we praise internationally getting a phone call, both Io Shirai and Kairi Hojo have gotten offers to start in WWE in 2017 in the last week or two. Both told Stardom management about it this week. Shirai said she was going! And said that she was called by Shoichi Funaki. Hojo was contacted by Shinsuke Nakamura and Simon Inoki. Hojo at first didn't make a final decision, and there's some question if she can pass the physical because she's had two major concussions in the last 2 years. In July, when WWE ran at Sumo Hall, Hojo was introduced to Nakamura through Simon Inoki, who knew her because they'd worked together when Hojo did an IGF tour. Nakamura pushed to her that she'd do great in WWE. Hojo most recently told the Stardom office that she's interested in going to WWE. Stardom officials believe Shirai is gone for sure, but they are working to keep Hojo, and Hojo then said she's not sure what she's going to do. So, yes, Jim, courtesy of the new issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter at WrestlingObserver.com, only for subscribers, that's the story.
Oh, that sounds awesome, man. I mean, you know, talk about now, Hojo, didn't she get a concussion when she was wrestling? Io Shirai.
Yes.
The pile driver off the apron, I think,
did it to her. The stupidest thing, yeah. Well, they're, you know.
She won't Stardom, be doing that in NXT, let me tell you that much.
Stardom told me they didn't, you know, other people said that they did cause it. It doesn't matter, the fact that she got a concussion in that match. And regardless, it was a stupid spot. But Hojo, who's got the best elbow drop in all of pro wrestling, times about a billion, the best one since Randy Savage. She would actually be perfect if she can pass the physical. Shirai, if you are a fan of Asuka and have not seen the Shirai sisters team with Kana back in the day, she is a perfect accompaniment for Asuka, except she's even more aesthetically pleasing, if you'd like to look at it that way, which I'm sure would open up, you know, just a little slightly even more opportunity for you because it is WWE, so... you know, they're really rating Stardom and Shimmer as far as not rating, but they are taking some good people from there, Nikki Cross and many of the other people that they have. So good for them. At least the talent they're acquiring is worth getting.
This person says, why do they insist on doing these awful backstage segments with the Cruiserweights every week on Raw? It's obvious only Kendrick has any actual experience with them. Well, to be honest, this is in fact why they send everybody to NXT first, because they don't allow you to have an excuse to not do backstage segments. It's not like you're going to show up and, well, I've never done these, so.
It's part of the show.
It's part. You're part of the show. You're part of the traveling circus. So normally they send you to clown school first, and then they move you up. But these guys jumped right to Raw, and so they're being thrown in the deep end. Now, back when I was a wrestler, I learned from the best, Buddy Wayne. I was always told you got idiot-proof this stuff. If you're in there with somebody who is limited, you have to idiot-proof it. You find out what they can do. You find out what they can actually do, not what they say they can do.
Vinny.
What they can actually do. And then you work around them the best you can, have a good match. Well, it should be the same thing on WWE. If a guy can't talk, don't script him to say a bunch of stuff. Idiot-proof it.
Exactly.
But that's not what they do. Everybody has to do the same thing, whether you're capable of doing it or not. Mm-hmm. And then some people on live television sink. Not my
company. You know what, though? Young wrestlers, and this, whether you like it or not, take it upon yourself to take that improv class or to go see some or to look, it's just that's how the deal works.
You know what? You're right. But let me say something else here. Okay? If this were Hollywood, because they're making movies, right?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Okay, so you don't take somebody. All right, Ronda Rousey, no acting experience. George St. Pierre. I could name 50 fighters or wrestlers with no acting experience who went to Hollywood, okay?
Yeah.
How many of these numbskulls started on Broadway? None!
Well,
They all started in film where you can do 84 takes.
True.
So why do you have to throw these guys out on live television? Why not do a backstage deal and shoot it 50 times till it's somewhat decent, and then away you go? I'm sure some of it is taped backstage, but...
But WWE being WWE, if this is your ultimate goal and that's where you want to go, then you have to put that in the back of your mind that you are going to have to be somewhat proficient in this because this is what they like. So if you're not comfortable, you've got to figure out a way and take it upon yourself to take a Dale Carnegie course, but you're going to have to get comfortable speaking in front of people and being try to be as natural as you can in front of the camera, unless you plan on, again, working the indies and doing that sort of stuff forever. And if you want to make the WWE, that's what you got to do.
Okay, I hate to be a jerk, Mike, but as someone who did a fair amount of acting, an improv class is not going to help you in WWE.
I'm saying anything,
because you're not allowed
Brian.
To improv.
What did I just say? Whether it's Dale Carnegie, whether it's an acting course, whether it's just taking simple drama in high school and then maybe at a community college, whatever it is, if it's a deficiency for you and you have been told this, that it is a deficiency for you by other people or whether you just recognize it yourself, then you're going to have to do that and take it upon yourself because they put such a premium on it. And it may be unfortunate that that's the way it goes because they don't let you be yourself, but that's the way it is.
This poor guy has to go out there and do video game references. Nothing's going to prepare him for this stupidity. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Tomorrow, Nate Rao is going to be on the show talking the Dixie Carter-Billy Corgan lawsuit, which is the cover story of the new issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. If you want a headache, I woke up with one today. Read this article. You thought we went over a lot of stuff yesterday here on the show. Wait till you read it all on paper. The biggest disaster. I can't say that. I wrote about WCW, but this is a pretty big disaster. Like, a business disaster, the likes of which you will rarely read about. Unless it's like on the front page of the New York Times with some gigantic company. It's crazy. But that is the new issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, and Nate will be on tomorrow to talk about that. And we got a lot of stuff coming up. Action Ortiz will be joining us for a special Figure Four Daily coming up this afternoon for subscribers. Had a Filthy Tom Lawler show yesterday, which was great. Wrestling Observer Radio. We got tons of shows up for subscribers. 8,500 in the archives. New shows every single day. So make sure you check those out. We are live here Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Daily replays at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, searching Sports Byline USA. And the full schedule for shows is up at sportsbyline.com, wrestlingobserver.com. I am at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. Mike is at SemperVivi, Sports Byline at Sports Byline USA. And I want to thank Mike, as always, Sports Byline, all the callers and listeners. Mookie Ghana, Dave, we'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.